incognito. I don't really care if haters really don't agree though. Kill us in the streets and they weapon this police, claiming they ain't got no beef or steady, only eating keto. But we about to change that today. Your clans with guns and badges, they won't be safe. Your pipes that poison lands, no, they won't be safe. It's time to fight with us or get backed away. Because revolution steady right on the itinerary. I'm sick of seeing all my people in obituaries. Stay mad, Karen, we don't give an F-bomb. Blow it up by any means necessary. Have to say that I could be a revolutionary. I believe it, I can feel it in my capillaries. We out here and we showing no fear. Revolution's coming near, you don't want us as an adversary.
Fight the power!
Fight the power!
Sound. And you know we say fight the power.
Fight the power.
This is how the revolution sounds.
Riches on the earth got so many needs. I'm a giant, so they looking like my mini-me's. Never been a killer, but the world is tempting me. Steady killing me, but would never put an end to me. Fight the power, so in public, I'm the enemy. Privately contending with intentions of my energy. System all cap, feel like Kaepernick when he in the league. Overcoming haters like John Taylor, we in the lead. I deserve this gold medal. It's from the soil where we once settled. They want to spoil everyone's ghetto. My future son is about to know the level of expectation to be a black man in this generation. Cause this time, oh, the revolution will be televised. Bringing the evolution of mankind. When you hear me speak, you can tell I'm wise. Truth set us free, that's why they tell us lies. Questioning everything I recognize.
Fight the power!
Fight the power!
This is how the revolution sounds. And you know we say fight the power!
Fight the power!
This is how the revolution sounds. And you know we say,
you can murder a liberator, but you can't murder liberation. You can murder revolutionary, but you can't murder revolution. And you can murder a freedom fighter, but you can't murder freedom.
Coming, yes, it's coming, revolution's coming, yes, it's coming, revolution's coming, yeah, it's coming, coming, revolution's coming, yes, it's coming, revolution's coming, yes, it's coming, revolution's coming, yeah, it's coming, coming, revolution's coming, yes, it's coming, revolution's coming, yes, it's coming.
Views from the ground.
Views from the damn ground.
Views from the ground.
Views from the damn ground.
Views from the ground.
Views from the damn ground.
And that's on that, on that, on that. Hey, this is everyone's favorite agender host, DJ. I use they, them pronouns. And you are here on KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and also WFMU Frogtown Radio. And we are celebrating our 3-year anniversary. So I'm super excited about that, and it's so much fun. And we're going to be celebrating this anniversary through the entire month. We have an amazing lineup of shows, and I cannot wait for y'all to get to experience and hear them. So with that being said, we have our boy Vinnie Franco in the house.
What's up?
And go ahead and take it away with your report.
Okay. What's up, you guys? My name is Vinny Franco. This is my little segment where I be interviewing interesting, cool, artistic people from the Twin Cities once a month. This is called In the Moment, and today we have Uzo. You want to say hello?
Hello.
So I met Uzo in a few different spots. At the Cherry Pit, I've seen you as Snapped, and I've seen you just about everywhere that I've gone in like the past 6 months, including our shows, which is, which, thank you so much for coming and supporting our shows. We appreciate seeing you around. So do you just want to tell people sort of like what you do as an artist? I know you're a singer, but you're also, you're kind of, you're multidisciplinary, and not just multidisciplinary where you do everything like a little bit bad. You do everything very, very well.
Thank you.
So just explain what you do. Just hit some points for them, for the people.
Yes, for the people. Shout out to the people.
Hey.
yeah, so I'm a multidisciplinary artist. I always tell people that like my primary mediums are animation and film and illustration, and then music, of course. Yeah. But yeah, I work in film primarily within the medium of animation. I'm currently directing and producing my own independent project. And then I'm also an illustrator. I've been a freelance illustrator for the past 4 years. And so I've worked with like businesses. Like I've worked with MTV and Hulu before. Amazing. I also work with like artist friends of mine, or I also just do personal commissions. But yeah, I would say those are the two main mediums that I dabble in professionally, animation and illustration. But yeah, I also do music. I also do film and a bunch of other things. But yeah, those are the main ones.
Okay, lovely. So I know you started a production studio called Zoma Studios. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what inspired you to create that organization, and also what kind of projects you have going on with the organization?
Yes. So Zoma Studios, I believe on the website, actually, I don't believe, I know because I wrote the website, but it is a studio that is centered on platforming stories from culturally specific, from a culturally specific lens. And so I'm interested in telling stories from like a Black and African lens, from a lens that is specific to me and unique to my voice as a storyteller. But the main reason that I felt the need to create my own space for storytelling is actually this research paper that I stumbled upon like a year or two ago. It was by the USC Annenberg Inclusion Initiative, and it basically like broke down the demographic data of animation. So like on-screen representation and off-screen representation, so like the directors, the writers, the producers, as well as like the leads and all the characters on the screen. And the data for Black women in animation was really harrowing. Like, it was disappointing, actually, to say the least. And I remember the data, it surveyed 120 of the top films and TV shows from like 2007 to 2018, around then. And it was basically like, of all those films, only four of the directors were, I think for the film side of things, of all the films, only four directors were women of color, but none of them are Black women. And just seeing that data and just seeing, especially like African narratives and African diasporic narratives in Western animation, and seeing that lack, I just really felt like I think there is a conversation to be had about like changing an industry from the inside, but I also think there's a lot of power in creating your own spaces. And I remember I had a mentor figure who kind of told me that, like, yes, there's one path where I join the industry and I try to tell these stories, or I go so hard on my own path that the industry bends towards me anyways, and I make them pay attention to the work that I'm doing. And so that's kind of the path that I've been going on, of like, if this industry isn't going to make space for Black women directors, Black women on screen, then I'll make space for it. So that was like the big reason why I decided to start Zoma Studios. And the project that we're currently doing, our debut animated short film, Hmong, it's an Igbo word that translates to masquerade. And I wrote the script. I'm directing the project. I'm also producing the project. So I do all the like logistical things, hiring people, planning meetings, scheduling things. And it's a project that was inspired. So I'm Nigerian American, and I grew up in the US, but I've been to Nigeria many times. I actually lived there for a year in high school. And so I have like a pretty like deep cultural relationship to Nigeria that's just beyond like the label of being Nigerian, which is I'm really fortunate about, because I feel like there's so many kids in the diaspora who don't get to go back. So I feel lucky that I do. But the story was inspired by an experience I had at my grandfather's burial ceremony in 2021. And I remember it was my first time experiencing like a traditional Igbo burial ceremony. And I remember just being so amazed by like the celebration of it all. I feel like in the Western context, when we think about how we mourn someone, funerals, it's very, obviously it's sad someone passed, but I think it always stops at the mourning. And I think something really beautiful about like indigenous African funeral rites is that it doesn't just stop at the mourning, it also blossoms into celebrating that person's life. And so I remember sitting there and being like, wow, this is such a beautiful celebration of my grandfather. And it was just like, there's all these masquerades, and it was just all like, my whole family was there, and like the whole, so many people from the village were there, like it was this huge thing. And I remember, like, I can distinctly remember sitting under this canopy tent, and I was just like, there is a story to be told here somewhere. And it took me like 2 years before I actually like sat down and wrote the script. But that was like the very real moment that inspired the whole world and the whole story. And it is yeah, like I said, the first of our projects, but my goal is to continue to create more original projects from this like very specific, culturally specific lens.
Yeah.
And so so this is a short film, but the long-term goal is to move into the feature animation space. Yeah. I think that would be, I already have a couple ideas for like what of I would want to make a feature about. But yeah, I think that's like the long-term goal for Zoma Studios.
Yeah.
And yeah, just giving space for Black women on screens, behind the scenes, I think is super, super important to me and kind of what made me want to create this space for myself.
That makes sense. So you mentioned building your own thing and having the industry bend towards you instead of like trying to take like a more traveled path, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So what's been difficult about going from being just you're an artist who's good at what you do to not just being an artist, but somebody who's overseeing this entire project? Like what's been difficult about that? And what kind of like things have you been faced with? Like hurdles that you've been faced with that you've had to climb over?
Climb over. I think a couple things. Obviously, money is a hard one. Like being an independent artist, a lot of things are self-financed. We were really fortunate that the Kickstarter campaign that we launched for the film was like really successful.
Yeah.
And I'm like so grateful for that because that was my first time like raising money in that way. And yeah, I just remember being, it was weird because I like was both super confident but also super doubtful, but I was trying to just like hold on to hope, and it paid off in the end because it ended up being successful. But yeah, I think finding funding is one of the biggest challenges of being an independent artist.
Yeah.
And I think thankfully our first project is funded. And so a question that I constantly grapple with is like, okay, how do I sustain that for a future of storytelling? What are some other ways that I can ensure that we have the money to make the projects that we want to make?
Yeah.
I think another big thing, I think just because of my life experiences, like I was the president of an a cappella group in college.
Nice.
And I like, I founded this like organization in high school. Like I feel like I was a officer on my speech and debate team. Like I feel like I had so many instances growing up where I had to step into leadership, and that really prepared me for the moment that is right now.
Yeah.
Because I think I was actually just talking to someone about this, how like a lot of artists aren't really taught the skill of managing people, because it is a skill.
Yeah.
And it comes naturally to some, but it is something that you have to be intentional about. And I think I learned a lot about what that communication looks like. And like navigating being direct but not being harsh.
Yeah.
Because I never want people on my team to feel like, you know, their ideas aren't being listened to or that they don't have the space to just have ideas. And so I think that's been a big one for me, because I've had a couple moments where we've like butt heads creatively and I've had to like stand 10 toes on my ideas and what I want to do.
Yeah.
But I do so in a way that doesn't completely shut them down, I think has been a big one for me.
That makes sense.
But yeah, I think those are two big ones.
Do you have any like tips and tricks for like if somebody's in this situation where they have to like, where their creative idea is going against somebody else's? Like how do you hold your ground in that situation?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like, so I always view creative dissonance in two ways. Either I will agree with the change and I'll be like, okay, we can implement that, or I'll disagree and it'll make me believe in my idea even more.
Yeah.
And so once I have gone on those paths, if I disagree and it makes me believe in my idea even more, I think I will say, like, with this particular project, I do have a bit more ability to be in control of the creative vision, because it is a film that I wrote and that I'm directing. And so I think the fact that I'm the director, I do have that final say. But if it was a circumstance where we were all on the same, we had equal stake in the story, I think I would just be really relentless about why I think it works. And I would explain because it fits the story in this way, or because it enhances the story in this way. Like, I think providing context as to why this thing is the better idea, I think would really help plead the case for a specific idea.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so you're also a musician.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that come into the picture in your life? And you said you're the president of your a cappella group, which I think is super impressive.
Thank you.
And that's also how I met you, was through music.
Yeah.
So how, like, what kind of space does music take up in your life at the moment? And like, what does it serve you in your life? And then also I want to know about how, you know, how it how it works in conjunction with your other like artistic projects and aspirations. But like right now, what is music to you? Like, what do you do?
Yeah. Well, I'll start with the question of my connection to it. I've been singing literally forever.
Yeah.
I actually, there's a video somewhere in my mom's phone of me in like the fourth grade, and I wrote a song. If my family's listening, they know exactly the song I'm talking about. But I wrote a song called 12 Words. And the point of the song, we were supposed to do like a creative thing to help us remember our vocab words. Yeah. And so I wrote a song to help me remember those words. And I actually still remember some of it. But that was like my first memory of like making something musical. But yeah. I grew up doing theater, musical theater. I grew up in choir. In high school, I was part of this R&B band where it was like musicians and instrumentalists basically like made a band together. It was actually super cool. There was also like so many musical showcases I was a part of in high school. And then in college, I was part of this a cappella group. I did a musical for 1 year. And then my senior year, I studied abroad in Paris. Yeah. And I still managed to find music out there. I actually would go to these open mics all the time. It was Saturday night. It started like Saturday night at midnight. Yeah. But I would make it a habit to go. And it was really beautiful because I built my own little community off of that habitual practice of like going to these open mics.
Yeah.
So I've literally been singing forever. And I think in the current age, how music has made its way into my like professional and personal life. When I graduated and moved back to Minnesota for the first year, I didn't really touch music that much. To be fair, actually. And to kind of answer your question about how music intersects, I think one of the reasons why I love animation is because it's this beautiful synthesis of so many things that I already love. So like illustration and drawing, music, and then filmmaking and storytelling. And so in the trailer actually of our short film, because we produced a trailer first for the Kickstarter campaign, I actually am singing some of the background vocals. You can't hear me at all, but I actually am singing some of the background vocals. And so I think one of the reasons why I've never felt the pressure to, like, one of the reasons why I never felt the pressure to, like, pursue, like, a music career, like, being, you know, like, a performing artist is because I just believe it'll naturally happen just by nature of the work that I create. And, like, I'm sure I'll make parts for myself where I can sing in, like, the films that I do. Like, I think being a filmmaker is so exciting because music will always exist in film. And so I'll always find a way to make my voice heard through that medium. And yeah, I feel like I had a conversation with a friend recently where she was basically clocking me because I was so overcommitted and just like doing a lot. And she basically was like, you're multi like passionate, but like you don't have to do everything right now.
Yeah.
And I think that was very important for me to hear because I think there's no rush. Like I am an artist and I'm going to pursue a career as an artist for the rest of my life. So that's like decades of time to pursue so many different things.
Yeah.
And so I think music is one of those things. I used to think I was abandoning the musical side of myself by not pursuing it professionally. But like I still sing. I go to open mics.
Yeah.
I actually, quick plug. I'm singing with, you are too actually, Backwood Drift.
Oh yeah.
On May 29th, Ice House, pull up. But like I'm still finding ways to make music, but I think it's okay with me for now that it's not like my professional focus. I just like the process of singing in community with others, and I'm okay with doing that in a way that isn't like my job for now. Cause I think it could become my job in the future, but I'm okay with it just being very, casual right
now.
That
makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's valid. Okay. So do you have any projects coming up that you want people to know about? Anything on the horizon?
Projects coming up. I mean, honestly, like my biggest project is just a short film that I've been working on. We are on. So the seed of the idea was planted end of 2021, wrote the script beginning of 2023, and I've been working on it ever since. So 2 years of like actively working on this project. And so I would just tell people to keep an eye out for that because I'm super excited about what that film is going to be and like the story it's going to tell. I guess, should I talk? Like, I didn't even talk about what the film was about.
Yeah,
should I?
Say a little bit about it, yeah.
Okay, so I mentioned the title, Momu, the Igbo word for masquerade. And it follows a Nigerian-American teenager as she travels back to Nigeria for her grandfather's burial ceremony. However, her mourning is interrupted when she confronts an aspect of her culture she doesn't understand. forcing her to contend with her identities as both Nigerian and American. And the film actually uses the horror genre as a vehicle to interrogate how Western perception can influence, or how a Western upbringing can influence our perception of indigenous African spiritual and religious practices.
Yeah.
And so that is a project that's just like really close to me and really, like, I feel like it touches on themes that I haven't really seen in mainstream animation, which is also what makes me so excited about it. I will say, though, since I first started working on the project, I have seen a lot more African projects hit the mainstream. Like, there was the Kazazimoto series on Disney Plus. There's Iwaju, also Disney, I believe. There's a new series, Iyanu, that came out on Cartoon Network. And so I feel like there are more stories coming to the forefront from an African lens. And so I'm grateful to be part of this, like, part of the wave, to hopefully, like, a drop in the ocean. But yeah, so that's what the film is about. That's kind of like my creative baby for now. And so that's, I would just tell people to keep an eye out on that. Yeah, because the hope is that when it's done, I can do, like, screenings locally, and I want everybody to pull up, so.
Hey, totally. Yeah. I'm definitely going to pull up. That sounds amazing.
Yay.
Well, that's all I have for questions, so thank you so much. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, well, thank you so much. We really appreciate you, Vinny. And, yeah, I'm so glad, you're so amazing, and I just love your energy. Oh, my God.
Thank you.
With that being said, we are going to tune in here to the Nerdy Spotlight. So go ahead and take it away, Nerdy.
Hello, my guys, gals, and non-binary pals. It's your boy, Nerdy, and I am back again here on Views from the Ground. I am so excited to bring to you what is now to be known as the Fair Play Artist Spotlight. That's right, Fair Play Entertainment is here to show you some of the amazing talent that we have all around our lovely state. And today is no different, because you might have heard them before, you have probably heard them all over the internet, but you're gonna hear them tonight. Their name is Mayotta, a wonderful artist right here out of the Twin Cities. The song is called Somebody Loves You. Now, if you have seen Mayotta live, you know that there's a whole dance to it. So crank this up. If you're at a place, why don't you dance a little bit? Somebody Loves You. Here we go.
She and you got tattoos in your face.
That's low.
There's a phrase that he says, cause you say
bro,
it.
Hey.
The down coat she wears is your favorite.
Eddie Bauer,
keep the receipts when the memories faded. And she knits in pearls, cause you teach your babies.
Grandma gang.
Then I'm telling you, some.
loves you. Somebody loves you. Ain't no thing that you got to do. Somebody loves you. Somebody loves you.
And we are so excited to have the return of the Nerdy Spotlight here on Views from the Ground.
Views from the Damn Ground.
And with that, coming up next, we're going to be hearing Kenna Kottman and their 29 Days of Blackness. So go ahead and take it away, Kenna.
Which black Minnesotan started out making custom olfactory blends as a former co-owner in a specialty shop? 29 Days of Blackness, Minnesota Herstory. For many years, Opal listened to the desires of her clientele, customizing her fragrance and offerings to match their needs. Opal prides herself on having a keen sense for how a fragrance can make an experience unforgettable. Now, the youth are learning the art as well, bringing fresh new takes and continuing to hone traditional fragrances. In September of 2021, the online marketplace was launched to showcase her products. A new store location opened in 2023 at the Zara building in North Minneapolis, an integrative mind, body, and soul care wellness center. Visit innerpeacefragrance.com to find out how to access Miss Opal's services.
It'll be a reggae day in May when the Wailers take the Dakota stage on Saturday, May 17th. The Wailers return to the Dakota for a 30th anniversary celebration of their 1995 seminal album, Natural Mystic, The Legend Lives On. They'll also be performing from their latest release, Evolution, a groundbreaking album that blends reggae with Latin and Caribbean influences to create a sound that honors their historic legacy and pushes the boundaries of the entire reggae genre into the future. Tickets for the Wailers can be found at the Dakota's website. Visit dakotacooks.com for more details.
Welcome back to Views from the Ground.
Views from the Damn Ground.
Here on KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and WFMU Frogtown Radio. This is everyone's favorite agender host, DJ Love. And we are celebrating our 3-year anniversary, and we'll be celebrating all month. And I just want to kick it off real fast with a little Sky.
Me. And all we need is each other. Party starts when the sun sets. KFAI celebrates the release of Tufa One's latest album, When the Sun Sets.
Friday, May 30th at the Red Sea. When the Sun Sets catches the Dakota Boricua singer, songwriter, producer, and artistic teacher at his finest.
Combining hip-hop with R&B, dancehall, and other genres, Tufa One debuts an album that will entertain and delight.
Rounding out the release party are Fanaka Nation, Proper T, Thalia Knight, Emmanuel Carter, and Gon Kama. Doors open at 9 p.m. The Red Sea is located at 320 Cedar Avenue South in Minneapolis.
Welcome back to Views from the Ground.
Views from the Damn Ground.
Here on KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and WFMU Frogtown Radio. And as y'all maybe could tell, we are definitely celebrating our 3-year anniversary here. And I wanted to make this a special month and also a special day as the kickoff of the 3-month. And so I have a lot of skills doing the radio, behind the board, and all of that. But I owe all of it to my mentor, D. Henry Williams, also known as the Grand Diva, with R&B and Healing Celebration every Saturday from 6 to 9. So welcome to the show, D.
I want to say thank you for the invite. And it's like, I like that, let's celebrate, because this is what you do. You do this so well each and every Wednesday. Views from the Ground.
Views from the Damn Ground.
From 7 to 8 p.m. Central. And I'm just, I'm excited to be here. Yes. I think this is my first time
yes,
being on your program.
It is. And I really wanted, I wanted to thank you for being my mentor all these years and sharing all your wisdom. And I just really appreciate you and want to make sure I give you your flowers.
And props.
And props. but I want to actually do an interview with you. You
go
do
ahead.
A lot of interviews on your show, so I want to be able for people to get to know the Grand Diva more.
All right, do it.
So tell us, how did you get into radio?
Well, I my husband and I come in from that job or whatever it was I came in from, and he apparently had been listening to KFAI. and they were looking for volunteers or soliciting for volunteers. And he says, Lynn says, well, you've been interested in radio. And I said, really, have I? When did I ever tell you that? And I was like, what? What you talking about, bro? And after all of that, of course, craziness, I went to an orientation and at the Walker Church, nonetheless, on 17th and 31st, and went down to some basement, something or another. It was weird. It was weird. But that's the beginning of it all. And Glenn McCluskey and Steve LeBeau were the volunteers who led that session, and there it is. And I think what I remember Glenn McCluskey saying something about now D, if it's anything that you want to have changed around KFAI, you've heard me say that, I think. Mm-hmm. He says you can change it. I said, oh, bro, you don't want don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. You didn't put a, you didn't, oh, no. Well, yes, it wasn't a mistake, but I carried the flag. Couple of them on a couple of occasions. And but it was noteworthy, and things did change, and it's still evolving here at KFAI.
Yes. Was R&B and Healing Celebration, was that the first radio program you were a part of? Or?
Yep. Yes, it was. And I had a co-host, Bonnie V, or maybe we co-hosted each other. And that lasted she was with the program for maybe a couple of 3 years. I'm not sure about that. I don't want to shortchange it, but it was a short term. And it was called Watercolors. Mm-hmm. Yes, and because Bonnie said, well, you know, I just love watercolors and all that old great stuff. And so that's what we did. And she leaned a lot towards jazz. And, of course, I leaned towards what I leaned towards, and that's blues, rhythm, and blues, and dance. And this was a good mix. So every once in a while, I still do a bit of jazz, but not that traditional, not the traditional stuff, but quote-unquote jazz. So I enjoy it. I enjoy it. And then it evolved into when Bonnie left, I did not want to jar my listeners, so I decided to hang on to watercolors a little bit and just set a great blend of watercolors. And then it evolved again, and I said, I'm through blending. we're gonna rock this mother. And so it was. Then it became R&B for Healing and Celebration, and that's what it's been up to this date. Yeah, it's been a good run, and I love it.
Yeah. So R&B and Healing Celebration, you changed it to that name about 4 or 5 years ago,
something like that.
Mm-hmm. And what inspired the last name change? Because I mean, you had the other name for a while.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so what inspired that change?
Well, what inspired it? Thank you. I got deep into my meditation, my solitude, and needed to get a better grip on who I am. So I was like, okay, so how do we do that? So what I'm going to do is... music is healing, and meditation, clearly for me anyway, is healing. And so I decided, well, this is a good blend. I think I'm going to do this thing, you know, and I talked it over with a couple of folks and decided, like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm doing R&B for healing. I'm doing R&B for healing. And so, well, you ought to do this and you ought to do that. Yeah, that's a good idea, but it's not mine. Yeah. So, but anyway, I'm being a bit offhanded. But R&B, not shit, you know I ain't kidding. R&B for healing and celebration is where the direction I wanted to go, because that's what it does for me. And I was hoping that I could extend that out to my listeners and have them hope that they would understand that when they listen to R&B for Healing and Celebration, whether it be live Saturday mornings from 6 to 9 or on archive, then, you know, they could get the same benefit whenever. You know, they could have a better understanding as to not who I am, but who they are. You know, have that introspective. That's where I am.
Yes, and yo, because to me, it was really nice because I didn't get to see the full change because I feel like it happened somewhere around 2020.
I don't know. If you think so, I'll say so. I'll go with that.
Or 2021. It was somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. And I was in the streets a lot doing a lot of protests. And then yep. I was listening to the show and I was like, oh, I get it. You know, it took me a while to like, I was like, what's going on?
Well,
like,
what's that mean?
Because, I've seen people change their opening song or their ending song, but changing the whole show name after, you know, over a decade, you know, to me that was like unheard of. So I was like, what is going on? I gotta listen in. And then I started listening. I was like, oh, I get it. Mm-hmm, you know, because the world needs healing. You know.
Right. And for me, it was specifically geared to music from the African American, as some people say. I say Black diaspora, and so it was like, no, we don't get played enough. And definitely when I started to introduce the Southern Soul, and I was like, these are some crazy-ass people. But I'm playing this music anyway because it's fun, you know, to be talking about crazy stuff. And it's like, oh, okay, that's what they do in the Dirty South, you know. And I enjoyed it. And then, of course, I Motown, of course, you know, and, you know, the current stuff. Yeah.
So you used to be a staff member at KFEI.
Honey, hush. I sure did. That's one thing. When Glenn McCluskey said, D, if anything you need doesn't see it seems right, you can change it. I said, all righty now. All right, yes. I became volunteer coordinator. And it was on. Yeah, because there were a lot of things here at KFEI that needed to be changed. Not enough people of color, definitely not enough black males at the time, and not that there's that many now, but, you know, it's an improvement. And a handful of indigenous people. And so I thought, you know, and then we always have the Southeast Asians, and that was always a good thing, too. But it was important that we needed, because our mission says, you know, that we cover all the spectrum, but not in reality. But then it did, not just me now, I'm not the only one, you know, because I had partners. You know, the program director was like, yep, let's do this thing. And because that's the person who really has the power to make those changes. Of course, the general manager, but, you know, at that time it was the program director. Who had that exclusiveness? Maybe I put it that way.
Yes. So, and then you've ventured outside of KFEI before, right?
What'd I do?
You've been to KMOJ before?
Oh, yes, I did. I wanted to get a different feel of a community radio, and went over to, I was invited. Had an opportunity to do a Sunday afternoon blues. I mean, this was straight up blues. Not hardcore blues, not the dirty blues, but, you know, it was blues, it's a mix of blues. And it was like, this was fun too. And then, and enjoyed it. And I did a solo there. And at one point, I had a cue bear to come in and talk about, I was from those, because the projects at the time, they were into projects in North Minneapolis, and was like, I was going to see who was playing the blues. And I said, you already know, you just wanted to come over and see me. That's it. But it was a short run, but most enjoyable.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, you are on top of being the grand diva, doing the radio program, mm-hmm. every R&B and healing celebration, mm-hmm. every Saturday from 6 to 9.
A.M.
A.M. You are also an artist.
Oh, you remember that. Good. Yeah, I still dabble. I do blue jean art, fabric art, some people say. I like to think of it as fabric art. And create masks, and taught it to to youth, after school programs, and to adults as well. But it was one of the things that I really, really had an opportunity to get deeper into my meditation. And it was like really a point in my life that a lot of transitions, I'll just put it that way, a lot of transitions. And I got an opportunity to understand also what R&B for healing and celebration could be as well. Because it's a mixed media, and you know, you've seen my art, beads and fabrics and all different kinds of fabrics. And if it don't shine, why bother? If it don't glitter, forget it. Yeah. So it was I still do it to some degree. Right now, I'm kind of doing a little bit in doing something with Converse. You know, the high tops and all. I like to decorate my shoes. Yeah, so I do that too, and photography was still is a big part of what I do. I'm a photographer, and everybody around me that I've tried to teach photography. But what I learned about photography, and I would like to pass this on, is that it's not just about taking photographs or taking pictures, as people say. Take a picture. It is about being able to see better in so many different ways, and have a different kind of vision. And I think that is clearly the reason for me, and this is what I teach when I do teach photography, is I teach how to see. And you know that. What you chuckling about?
This is very much true. So I also, you do a lot of interviews on your program.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you feel like being an artist has helped you with interviewing other artists?
Well, I that vision thing, you know, and you can, well, I don't know about, it helps me to understand who my guest is or are, and what I see that they're bringing to the studio, mm-hmm. so I can bring more of what and who they are to our listeners. And so that is, I think that's really a big, big piece of that vision and the meditation and just understanding my listeners and also understanding hopefully understanding the guests that's coming in to talk about what they're doing and how they're doing it and when they're doing it.
Yes, well, thank you. With that being said, we are here on Views from the Ground.
Views from the Damn Ground.
And we are live with the Grand Diva herself.
Celebrate.
D. Henry Williams. And we're just getting to know more about D.
Mm-hmm. You know what I want to say is that When we met a few years back, when you were a baby.
Literally.
And it was so interesting to get to know you and learn about who DJ Love is, was and is. And it was, and you were willing to learn. That was the best part of it. And so that's why I'm here right here today, because you were open and willing to learn about life, not just radio, you know what I'm saying? Not just radio, but about yourself and about people around you and be able to have that insight that a lot of us are looking for, maybe I'll put it that way. Yeah. So I want to say thank you for that as well.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, and we met at May Day.
Can you believe it? Yeah, we did 10 years together.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. May Day, yeah. You were the high kicker and and leaper and all of that and all of that. And did workshops together.
Yep.
You came in weekly with the South High.
Yep, with South High because, yeah, they made it part of the
the curriculum.
That mm-hmm. we could help out with May Day.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
everybody got to choose. They were like, oh, yo, go ahead and choose who you're going to work with. And you came over and you're like, you're working with me.
Hey. And you looked around and I said, yeah, I'm talking to you. Come on over here. You're working at this table. Yeah. Yeah. I remember it. I'll never forget it. Yeah. And I saw you. And I said, oh, yeah, no. He's the one. We're going to do this thing this year. And it was a good year. Thank you.
Yes, it was a good year. And I remember we had been working for several months on the project for May Day. And mm-hmm. it was like, and then like, you know, near the end, but it wasn't the end yet. You were just like, you got to come in sometime to the radio program.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, what radio program? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you said, you know how I'd be doing the radio, you know, every Saturday from 6 to 9 a.m.
Yeah, that's been a few years, for sure. Yeah, that was good. That was good. That's why I say you were open and willing to be a part of what we do here at KFAI. And I want to say thank you and congratulations on 3 years. I mean, you know, once you get past that first year, you say, whew. But the second and third year, and when you get into 4 and 5, you just saturated. Yeah, you're just saturated. And you get all these new people, like your first guest and your interviewers. And Nerdy, oh my God, he is magnificent. Yeah, you guys, a good partnership.
Yes.
Congratulations on that.
So, I feel like something that that people don't know is you used to really love motorcycles. So tell us.
Oh, Lordy.
Uh-oh. I hope I didn't get in too much trouble.
No, not at all. Now, no. I rode about 20 years, 25, maybe 30. But anyway, I rode a long time. Yes, and it was fun. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the people of that culture, because it is a culture. I enjoyed that culture until I stopped enjoying it. Yeah.
What did you enjoy about the culture when you were in it?
Live, honey. All the way live. Anything goes. And anything is not in quotes. Mm-hmm. It was good. I enjoyed it. Yeah, all the boys and the girls and the rest of them. I enjoyed it very, very much. And the traveling. We traveled together to different other clubs. And throughout the Midwest and the South. I don't think we ever went. No, we never went west. Yeah, but we went the Midwest and South. And it was good. Good. One of the better parts, I thought, was when we would go to Mardi Gras. That's a...
You rolled all the way down the...
Mm-hmm. NOLA. NOLA.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's wild. And it's even wilder if you're a rider. It's already wild. It was like, oh, good. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. And I have a lot of good memories and a lot of other memories. Yeah, well, you know. So it was, yeah, and then there was a point where it was time to, you know, to close that session and of my life. And something about, I think really what it was, I got tired of all that roar and different the personalities that cycling brings sometimes. You know, it's just like, you know, I don't like you. and it's like, and I don't like you. So when you have those kinds of feelings out loud, yes, out loud, then, you know, you got to step away, you know, you got to step away, and I did, yeah, and I did, and then I got into fast cars, but it was good, it was enjoyable.
Yes, speaking of cars, because you also were a trucker, too.
Oh, my God, did I tell you everything?
Oh, my Lord.
You were, really are a mentor. Yeah, cross country.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, DJ, that is so boring. It's
boring to you.
I know, but it's what it is at the time, and I don't know what it is now. But you dealt with a lot of injustices and racism, and not that we don't in other lives too, but this was right all up in your face, blatant. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, and I have my handle, Lady D, and you know when the folks, don't start nothing, D. said, what does Lady D stand for? I said, everybody know D stand for driver. So what you talking about? So I think they recognized. So, oh no, I've always been D. Henry Williams, Grand Diva, all my life. I think I started when I was about 11 or 12 years old, and I realized who I was, and I was like, no, I ain't taking no stuff from nobody, no time ever.
What brought you to Minneapolis? Because you, you've been a little bit everywhere. What made Minneapolis like?
Yeah.
What settled you down here?
Well, I moved. My husband and I, at the time, deceased husband, we moved here. I don't even remember it was. Can't remember now. In the late 70s, and oh my God, it's almost scary now. I really got tired of that, the culture, and which is starting to be now here with that, the drug culture, and that which drugs make people act stupid. And so I just said, I think let's look at something different. Yeah, and my sister kept saying, don't come here, don't come here. It's this and it's that, you know. And I'm like, this is it. This is the U.S. of A. It's the same all over. You know what I'm saying? You can't run over here. And but what tipped the turn the clock was, because I plant, and I have a lot of plants, and I like growing, and I like nature big time. And when someone can come off of the street and come up to a second floor and take plants, now, you know, that's bold. And I said, yeah, so I decided, I can't do that no more. No, because somebody, it ain't going to be me, you're going to have some problems. Yeah, so I decided, well, no, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. Anyway, that was one of the few things, and one major thing that really... made me turn around and say, I can't do this. Yeah, I don't. It's abusive. You know what I'm saying? And I just couldn't stand it. But anyway, it's so be it. And I've been here ever since. Yeah, and I've had a good time. KFAI has helped.
Yep.
Yeah, and many of the relationships that I have, like yourself, and others, and I just really appreciate you. For being DJ Love, Views from the Ground.
Views from the damn ground.
Wednesdays evenings from 7 to 8 p.m. Central. And you have, can I just say right now that you have a fabulous and wonderful